Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org or on the WDIY app. Today is June 29th, 2022. The markets were mixed today with the Dow up to 31,029, the NASDAQ down at 11,177, and the S&P down at 3,818. I will point out, though, since last week, they were all up compared to last week when I gave these same numbers. So we have to remember, don't look at it isolated on a day. Look at it over time. Our topic this evening is considerations for a successful retirement lifestyle. We will take your questions. Sue is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information. We ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. If you're not comfortable talking live on air, just give your question to Sue and she'll write it down and bring it in to me. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. So if you have a question you're not comfortable asking on air or even off air, and maybe it's a little bit more detailed, you can simply send it through yourfinancialchoices.com and I'll respond via email to you. Tonight's topic, again, considerations for a successful retirement lifestyle. This is a little bit of a soft subject tonight, a little bit of a kind of just things to ponder. That's usually what I like to do. I like to follow the threads through all the planning opportunities that one might have. And obviously, planning sooner than later is always better. As I reiterate at the end of every show, be proactive, not reactive. I just said this to clients yesterday, that we have a lot more options when we are proactive and in front of the decisions than reactive in trying to, rectify decisions that, you know, we didn't think through. So let's talk about some of those things. Let's talk about some of those considerations. What do I mean? I often have people ask if they can retire. People say, can I retire? Well, I suppose it depends. A lot goes into the answer to that question, which might include when one wants to retire. What are the cash flow needs going to be? What are the goals? How about health and the cost of health care? I feel that it's also building flexibility into your plan, which is very important when people talk about, can I retire? Let's be flexible in planning for that retirement. People who allow for flexibility seem to be best positioned to meet their goals in retirement. Planning for a successful retirement lifestyle starts long before you think about retiring. Typically, your financial habits carry over into your retirement years. Let's think that one through. Typically, your financial habits carry over into your retirement years. So if you're good with budgeting in your working years, you're probably going to be pretty good with budgeting in your retirement years. If you're not good with budgeting or managing cash flow while you're younger and working, you're not necessarily going to be good at it in retirement either. unless you change your habits, and unless you change your habits maybe now. Little things to move forward. I was just discussing this with my son today, who's, you know, starting his career in financial planning and advice in the financial world. And we talked about, you know, how even my own habits evolved over time. And it really helps having a partner in that. If you are lucky enough to have a partner, someone who kind of gives a different perspective, if you're open to listening to the different perspective. It's funny, I grew up in retail, and you know, every time there's a sale, you know, when you work retail, you know, there's a sale and everyone has to go shop the sale, right? So at least my one good habit was I like to buy things on sale, but the bad habit was I was always buying things on sale. So, you know, when I met my husband, he kind of said, well, you know, there's always sales. And it was like slightly novel to me, like, oh, that's true. Meaning there's always going to be another sale. So you don't always have to buy on every sale. That sounds simple. I'm just giving that as an example of how maybe when we're talking about considerations for a successful retirement lifestyle, what are we doing now before we retire to increase our chances of having a successful retirement lifestyle? All right, so let's talk about some of those, you know, or think about some of those habits that might change. So considerations for a successful retirement lifestyle, I'll start by saying know thyself and plan accordingly. Maybe it even would require some kind of therapy, not sure. Know thyself. Project forward, and when you're projecting forward, you want to consider prior to retiring. And if I have time, I'll kind of talk about some of the things you can do in retirement. But I'm trying to get those people to consider what they need to do to get to a successful retirement lifestyle. So projecting forward, you want to consider prior to retiring, what are you going to do about housing? Are you going to stay in place? Are you going to downsize? Some people actually upsize. This always is a conundrum for me. I'm not sure why someone would want to upsize, but some people do. They want their dream home. Maybe they lived very modestly all their working years and really just want that dream place where maybe that's where they're going to spend all their retirement time. Maybe they're not going to travel. Maybe they're not going to go visit people. Maybe it's just, you know, what they've wanted, and that's fine as long as you're thinking about it before you retire. Might you want a second home? So housing is a really big part of that retirement lifestyle, if you ask me. Housing is one of the most expensive things we invest in, so you really want to think what you're doing about that when you retire. Improvements. Maybe you're going to stay in place. Maybe you're not going to move somewhere else or downsize. Maybe you want to stay in your current home, but that might require some improvements. You might not have done any improvements during your working years because you were just way too busy. Maybe you ended up having children and you were preoccupied, couldn't afford it, whatever it might be. You've let the home kind of, you know, go by the way, and you need to do a lot of updates. So you definitely want to make sure that you understand what type of improvements might be needed, and how much that might cost, renovations and or updates. Healthcare. We want to talk a little bit about healthcare. How much is healthcare going to cost you? There's pre-Medicare age, meaning you might retire before age 65. Then there's going to be a cost to that. Are you going to go on COBRA, which is the health insurance from your employer? That gets extended for a small period of time. Or might you go on the marketplace or use penny.com if you're a Pennsylvania resident? Travel, what's travel going to look like? Are you going to have regular travel, family trips? Are you going to be camping? Are you going to be cruising? Are you going to do domestic travel or international travel? Long-term care. Are you going to self-insure your long-term care needs? Are you going to have a hybrid policy, which is a little bit of life insurance and long-term care insurance? Or are you going to have a strict the long-term care policy. So we're going to kind of touch on some of these items this evening. Again, we're talking about considerations for a successful retirement lifestyle. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Did you know WDIY public affairs programs and features are available on all major podcast platforms? Listen anytime on the go at Apple, Google, Spotify, or NPR One podcasts and apps. Just search for WDIY 88.1 FM and you'll find a variety of award-winning public affairs programming from the Lehigh Valley. Listen and share with your friends and family where you get your podcasts and introduce them to many choices, real voices.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. We are talking about considerations for a successful retirement lifestyle. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, and you can give your question to Sue, and she'll write it down and bring it in to me if you're not comfortable talking live on air. If you're comfortable talking live on air, of course, we'll put you right through. Questions can also be sent through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. So, considerations for a successful retirement lifestyle. Number one, I said know thyself, start planning accordingly. Two, project forward and consider, you know, several big items, I believe, in retirement that you want to kind of have your hands or your arms around before you retire, and that's housing, improvements or renovations, healthcare, travel, and long-term care. So let's start with knowing thyself. If you've always been someone who finds it hard to save and you want to live in the moment, you must realize that will not necessarily work in your retirement. You know, I was raised in a home where my mother said you could be gone tomorrow, so we did learn to live a bit for today. And, you know, I think that there has to be a good balance. People think CPAs are always very tight with their money and don't spend anything. Well, I am a CPA, but I do believe in kind of having a balance. You need to live your life today, of course, but maybe practically so that you can still go out to eat once in a while. You just don't have to go out several times a week. You can still travel, but you don't need to take two European vacations a year. Maybe you go every other year. So you want to try to find out, you know, what is your nature and how can you still be true to yourself during those pre-retirement years, still live your life, but also be practical in such a way that you do have to plan for those later years. So this, you know, realizing that living in the moment may not work into your retirement, it kind of all depends on what your situation is right now. So for example, this could be, you know, maybe an easier pill to swallow for those who are already on tight budgets with, you know, lower income while working, meaning maybe you're of modest means and you live a modest lifestyle, then, you know, you could be totally comfortable in retirement. There might be people who make a lot of money while they're working, and then when they retire, there's no more wages coming in. They may not have a pension. They may have to rely on their savings. But if they were a high earner pre-retirement and were spending, you know, maximizing their living, well, then they're going to have like a real culture shock when they go to retire, because it's just not going to be there. They're not going to be able to fund that lifestyle that they became so accustomed to. So for people on those tighter budgets, maybe who have lived a more modest lifestyle, you might not have pensions, you might not have large retirement accounts. But again, you might be used to living on a more restricted budget and maybe have not saved as much for retirement, but you're kind of used to that. So you still want to know yourself, be truthful with yourself, and kind of say, what are my options going to be as I move toward retirement? And I've said this on a number of shows. I really believe in taking an inventory of your assets, an inventory of your liabilities, an inventory of the cost of those liabilities, and cash flows. I think it helps to see your net worth. People might say, oh, I have a, you know, $250,000 house. Well, if they don't at the same time acknowledge that they have a $200,000 mortgage with 4% interest, they're not looking at the picture, you know, with true lens. They're looking at it with rose-colored glasses. So you want to maybe take an inventory and try to understand your picture. And I'm telling you, it empowers you. It really, really empowers you. And that is part of the considerations for a successful retirement lifestyle, is knowing what you have today and what you need to work toward as you move into retirement. So write down the facts, the assets, the liabilities, the cost of those. What assets do you have? What are they earning for you? What are the liabilities? What are they costing you? So you write those down. Then you also want to write down your goals. What do you see yourself doing in retirement? I frankly am someone who is just happy looking at the sky. I don't need a lot of, activity or glamour or anything. I am very content to just sit and read a book. Other people need to travel the world over. They like to have a second home. There's a lot that could go into what you think is a successful retirement lifestyle, but you need to put it to paper. Now, I will admit, my husband and I do have a second home. We thought about it for 4 years. So we really, really thought it through. Well, in fact, we probably were thinking about it before the 4 years, but it was for the 4 years that we set a plan in motion. And we were thinking through every little step, which is, you know, what is getting us to our eventual successful retirement lifestyle. We're both from Michigan. We live here in Pennsylvania. We're both from Michigan. We love Michigan. We love the water. We love being near family. We knew we wanted to maybe have a place that we could go visit there. And then we started saying, well, what would that look like? Well, I don't know how many of you are real estate buffs, but if you look at the coast of Michigan, it's like the coast of, the Atlantic coast, where you're buying beach properties, and it could be very expensive. So we said, well, we can't be right on the water, but we can be close to the water. We can still get to the water. How are we going to get to the water? Can we walk to the water? Yes, we can walk to the water. Check that box. Yes, we can get that. What about as we age? You know, we noticed my father-in-law, who's 94, can't go up the stairs anymore of a house that we used to rent. So we want to make sure we're not having to go upstairs. We started developing a list of what we were going to need to make this work for us. We aren't going to live there permanently. What would answer that dilemma? Well, a condo association could take care of that when we're not around. So there were a number of things, and it took us 4 years to think this through, and we started saving money. So for 4 years, we saved so that we would have, you know, a really decent down payment. And I recall that when we went to go buy the house, the realtor said, not the realtor, the mortgage banker said, wow, you guys are really good with your money. And I said, what? Why would you say that? And he said, because you could afford way more than this. So that was the other item we had in our, vision for our successful retirement. We didn't want to be bogged down by a mortgage or a big mortgage, and something very practical worked for us. So we're kind of getting what we want, but you know, people might say to us, "Well, you probably could buy a house on the water." Well, no, we didn't want to put that financial burden on ourselves and or our children. Now, granted, in the real estate market we are today, that might have been a really good idea. But we also had to weigh it against, you know, the houses falling into the lake, because that has happened as well. So that was just kind of an example of, what I myself went through and how we approached it. We were thinking and there were more factors in that as well, but it's setting us up for that future successful retirement lifestyle that we want, even though we're not experiencing it yet. We haven't retired yet, but we're getting ourselves, aligned with those goals that we want. Folks, we are talking about some considerations for a successful retirement lifestyle. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on 88.1 FM, WDIY at WDIY.org and on the WDIY app. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can ask questions off air. Just give it to Sue. She'll write it down and bring it in to me. Or if you're comfortable talking live on air, we certainly welcome you to do that as well. I'm going to give you some other kind of consideration, something to think about. As mentioned, those who are already on a tight budget may be better suited to meeting their retirement goals than someone maybe who, you know, is a high income earner and then retires without a pension and that type of thing. But I want to point out some things to think about. Consider, again, in planning for a successful retirement lifestyle, is your income tax situation or your income situation while you're working is going to look very different than what it is when you retire. So, for example, Social Security is something that people can apply for at a particular age. Might be 62, it could be 65, it could be your full retirement age, which could vary, and it could be as late as age 70. And many people rely on Social Security to help them in their retirement years. It provides that flow of income. The reason I wanted to kind of spend a tiny bit of time on this is because when we talk about considerations for a successful retirement lifestyle, and I said sometimes people on a tight budget may be able to plan for it easier than someone who's used to living high on the hog, is Social Security, while it quite often people will say it's not meant to be your full, kind of retirement, resource, it almost can be for some people. So again, if you're someone who is on a very, modest income, let's say you had $40,000 of wages and you're working, you have federal tax, you have state tax, you have local tax, you pay Social Security and Medicare tax. That's, that's what we typically call payroll taxes. Usually you're contributing to a retirement account. You might net, when I figure in all those taxes and some modest savings, you might net $26,000. Well, if you're Social Security, you go to file for Social Security and you've kind of made these average type of wages, indexed for, cost of living, et cetera. If your Social Security ends up being like $1,900 a month times 12 months, that's almost $23,000. So you're not too far off. If while you were working, you were making 26, and now with Social Security, you're maybe at 23. What you Because why I'm saying that is with Social Security, you're not paying, the FICA tax, the Social Security tax on Social Security. Quite often, if that's the only income you have, you might not even be paying federal income tax. And depending on what state you live in, you may not even have state tax. So you might net from Social Security a fairly decent amount. Now, granted, Social Security gets included in your income based on how much other income you have. So if you have low income, you might not even pay any income tax on your Social Security benefit. If you're in higher income, maybe you also have a pension and you have IRA distributions. Well, then some of your Social Security might be taxed. Currently, that caps out at 85%. Only 85% for people with more income would be included. It's a formula and it's crazy and I won't even be able to explain it. But a lot of the states don't tax Social Security either. So there are 37 states and DC that either have no income tax or do not include Social Security benefits in their calculation for taxable income. So when people are planning for that successful retirement lifestyle, they may or may not be aware that when they're thinking about the cash that they need, they might not realize, if they've been basing it off their wages that they were getting without factoring in taxes, it might not be as big of a stretch once they realize the Social Security may not have the same tax consequences as their wages, okay? So that was from the Tax Foundation for those different states that have it. Some states don't tax pensions either. So not all the states tax pensions. Some states, like Pennsylvania, do not tax them at all, while other states, like New Jersey, will give an exemption within certain income and age limitations. So there again, that's something to consider when we talk about what we're planning for, what kind of cash flow we need when we retire. Not just that, but remember, what was the other consideration I said was important that we need to project forward? That's housing. That's, are you going to downsize? Are you going to stay in place? Are you going to buy a second home? Are you going to move? Quite often, I will have clients talk about moving to where their children are. So they retire and move to wherever the kids might be. You want to think about the impact on your retirement planning if you were to do that, because you might move to a state that does tax some of those benefits and moving from a state that doesn't, or vice versa. You might be in a state that has high taxes and you're moving to a state that doesn't. So that could impact your cash flow budgeting. For those high earners, the Social Security benefit will be drastically shy of that prior net pay. So where are you going to get the extra income? Where is that going to come from? So if the Social Security and the pension aren't enough to meet your cash needs, you might need to draw on your other retirement accounts like IRAs or 401ks, maybe Roth IRAs. So if you're withdrawing from an IRA or a 401k, then that could have tax consequences to you, obviously, as you're withdrawing. And the more you take out, the more the Social Security might be taxable. And for state purposes, more of a pension that might be taxable. So you want to factor that in. If you have a Roth, those are tax-free withdrawals. So when we talk about considerations for a successful retirement lifestyle, we want to kind of put all these pieces together, and we can see them when we do that inventory. So you want to do some careful planning around cash flow expectations. Now, I had someone present to me a little bit of a case. So someone's 45 and, maybe listen to the show about careful considerations for, successful retirement lifestyle. Maybe they have a Roth, they have a savings account, they have a investment account, they have a nice salary, and they're able to save each month. How do you get to retire at 65? How do you get a bucket of money for when you hit age 65 that you're going to be able to draw on to kind of fit that cash flow need? So Let's talk a little bit more about that when we come back from our next break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can give your question to Sue and she'll write it down and she'll bring it in to me. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Good afternoon. WDIY Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I'm James Johnson. It is 6:30. We have 82 degrees and fair skies. Lehigh Valley weather. Tonight, possible thunderstorms, patchy fog, low 60 degrees. Thursday morning, patchy fog will burn off to sunny skies, high 88. Then clear Thursday night, low 65. WDIY Lehigh Valley Public Radio, your trusted local NPR member station since 1995. Many choices, real voices. And speaking of real voices, your financial choices with Lori Siebert.
Thank you, James. Welcome back, folks. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We're talking about considerations for a successful retirement lifestyle. We've talked about knowing thyself and planning accordingly, and projecting forward what you expect and what you'd like in that retirement. What is that going to look like? Taking an inventory today, that's the stepping stone. That's the first stepping stone, is taking an inventory today. So we were just talking about a quick example of, some things to think about. Remember I said when you retire, how are you going to fill the shortfall of your cash flow? And I said you might have to pull from retirement accounts, IRAs, 401ks, maybe even Roth IRAs. And also with the scenario of a 45-year-old thinking forward to age 65, what might they do? And when I see that if this person has a Roth IRA and some savings and some brokerage account, this is great. I really like seeing that. I like seeing that there's some monthly savings, some excess cash flow. It means they're living beneath their means, which is good. And not overextending. I would first make sure there's no debt, credit card debt is a big problem in this country. So you want to make sure you're managing credit card debt. Today, if someone does have that, there's always an opportunity to transfer credit cards to, a lower cost interest, zero interest. That could be a good way as long as you don't continue to incur debt. So my assumption is there might not be any here. The continued savings is really important. One thing that I might look at in this story, the 45-year-old who is hoping to retire at 65 and kind of have some kind of a nest egg. If they're a renter, then with renting, you're not necessarily building up any equity. Now, sometimes renting can be a lifelong option and could in the end be less than purchasing a home if someone can't afford maybe the down payment, maybe it was high interest rates at the time to buy a home, depending on what area, geographic area someone lives, renting could be a really good option. And it also gives the person flexibility to move, ease in being able to, change jobs, go different places, maybe even go to cheaper rental facilities. So there's pluses for renting. Quite often people get a lot of, net worth or equity in buying a home and building up some equity and then eventually maybe selling or downsizing, and then they can take the equity out of the home. So that could be something I might look at to see if there's excess savings every month now. Would there be an opportunity to buy a home? There are some loans that people can get today. I think even Pennsylvania has a program where they will hold the mortgage, basically, or they work with banks that hold the mortgage that will provide a lower interest rate. right now might not be the time to buy because we've seen this huge run-up in real estate costs, so it might not be the time to buy. But remember, we're talking about considerations for a successful retirement lifestyle. This is something that we're kind of building and providing flexibility and options in our plan, especially the more runway we have in doing that. So it's the long game. So I would, just as my example of when my husband and I were looking for that second home, we thought about it for a long time, and then we actually had a plan for 4 years before we implemented it. This could be something as well. I love the idea of the Roth, because as people who regularly listen to me, the wonderful thing about a Roth is if it's a regular Roth that you've contributed to, you can always take out the original contributions. So I love the flexibility that that provides. If in maybe 5 years, you know, a home purchase might be something that could be explored and you maybe need a little extra cash. I also love the Roth for the retirement years, because I used that with one client when we had the, the CARES Act and the stimulus payments. We were able to, this client was taking a lot of money out of his IRA, and if we lowered his IRA distributions, he actually would qualify for the stimulus payments. So we just switched from taking money out of the IRA to taking it out of the Roth. So the Roth provides a lot of flexibility. I love the savings account. We highly recommend people having an emergency reserve. The emergency reserve can be 6 to 12 months worth of what I would say non-discretionary spending that you might need. And that really gives you flexibility, especially if you're investing. And this story also has the person has some brokerage account, has some investments. That's great, because you're not having to pull out of your investments when the market is volatile. When you have savings, you have some security in that. Again, flexibility. We love the flexibility. Having a bit of Roth, having some savings, having some stock, this is all great things. And a net savings, excess savings each month. So continue to plow some of that extra savings into maybe your investments. What I would also then be mindful of is if, let's say, there is kind of a house in the future, maybe some real estate investment in the future, I would say that you'd probably want to make sure that you're keeping that a little bit more conservative. So part of the portfolio could be invested for the long term, because remember, we're talking the long game, 20 years. So some of it can be invested for the long term, which is usually a little bit more, aggressive. But then for anything that you're going to want to use, let's say in the next 5 years, that might be a little bit more conservative to give you the option. If you were to decide to maybe invest in a home, you could pull it out. If investing in a home is completely off the table, then I would say still planning for retirement at 65. Obviously, the more you save today, the more likely it is you're going to reach your goal of, you know, the nest egg that you want at 65. And, you know, financial advisors can run those numbers. They can run, you know, they have programs, they have Monte Carlo simulations, they have, you know, how much do you have to save each month to get a particular nest egg? So someone can run those numbers, but I think it's really important to start those really, really good habits earlier, because it just gives you so many more options as you move along. So let's talk. We were talking about inflows. We were talking about, you know, Social Security, maybe pensions, where you're going to get your money when you retire, retirement accounts, whether it's an IRA or a Roth IRA or the savings account. I had someone, and I thought this was really brilliant on their part, retired early, age 60, and wanted to have, I think it was $200,000 of cash in the bank. And they ended up having probably $300,000 cash in the bank. Some of us can't even imagine saving that much, because it takes a very long time. It depends on, you know, what your workload is. It depends if you have a partner who can share in cost and share in income over the years. But this person was determined to save a lot. And that is probably why they were able to retire at 60, because his plan was he didn't want to have to pull from Social Security early, because if you pull from Social Security early, your benefit is discounted. So if you collect early at age 62, there's a discount. And the discount used to be 25%, but for many of us, as they raised the full retirement age, the discount is now, well, I'll call it a haircut, is like 35% if you collect at 62. So it's a significant haircut. Now, granted, if you're someone who has, no longevity in your family, and you have no money and no resources, and you're not in good health, and you have to retire at 62, then sometimes you don't have a choice. And maybe it does make sense for you to collect early. So I don't want to disregard all the different scenarios that we might have in our lives. I'm not saying one is better than another. What I'm trying to demonstrate is that you need to consider, know thyself, and we're talking about considerations for a successful retirement lifestyle for you. As I mentioned, I'm happy to do nothing. There are people who need to travel all the time and buy things. Well, that is a different kind of lifestyle that one would plan for. But we've talked about the inflows. Let's talk about the outflows. So are you heading into retirement with a mortgage, credit card debt, or car loans? Should it be a goal to pay those down prior to retiring? Well, I'm going to say, as I did at the beginning of the show, it depends. It depends on the interest rate, the loan payments, the time horizon, the opportunity cost of paying down those balances. So kind of going back to my little story that I was talking about, a 45-year-old planning to retire at 65, whether they buy a house or not, it's what is the money that you have going to do for you? How are you going to have this work for you? And sometimes you can use leverage, meaning you take out a mortgage and maybe the interest rate on that mortgage isn't so much. It depends. And we don't all have a crystal ball as to what's going to happen in the real estate market. But let's say you pay on that mortgage and you have if you bought 2 years ago, your interest rate was 3%. And maybe in 10 years, the house might have gone up in value, 5% or 10%. We've seen incredible appreciation in real estate recently, but that's not the norm. In projections I used to do, I used like 1% or 2% increase in real estate. So it kind of depends. Another flexible option one might have is, I had some neighbors who bought a house together. They bought, I was in a row home in Allentown, and the neighbors bought a row home together, and they were not a couple. And one had the upper level and the other had the lower level. And they both paid on the mortgage and they both lived in the home. And then, X number of years later, they sold it and they moved their separate ways. And it was a great way for them to build up equity together without the, monetary output that it might have had doing it alone. Some people might buy a house and rent a portion of it. That's another way to bring some income in and manage the mortgage. So now let me go to kind of an example I wanted to give. So let's pretend that you have $50,000 in the bank. And as you get close to retiring, you want to pay off your mortgage. If you have $50,000 on your mortgage and you pay it off, because I hear this all the time, I don't want a mortgage when I retire. I don't want a mortgage. So you take the $50,000 that you have in the bank and you pay off the mortgage. Now what happens? You don't have any money in the bank. And what did you do for yourself? Well, if your mortgage payment was $1,500 a month, all you freed up was $1,500 a month. So sometimes it's not always the best thing to pay it off. You want to give yourself flexibility. Now, what I really love is when someone has $50,000 in the bank, they have a $50,000 mortgage. They keep making their payments, but at any time they want, they could pay it off. So don't spend the $50,000. Do something with the $50,000. I don't want someone to say, well, I've got $50,000 in the bank. If Lori says not to pay off my mortgage, I can go spend it and go take a big trip. No, it's to give you the flexibility that if something does come up, that you have access to funds that you might need if you have an unforeseen expense. So keeping the monthly mortgage payment in this circumstance may be more desirable, particularly during a period of transition. That's what I call moving into retirement, a period of transition. And you must give yourself options and flexibility. It really does depend on the circumstances, and each person's situation is their own. I like to remind people that it isn't always about what your neighbor says. I had a question come in off air from Albert in Macungie. So Albert, I'll answer that question when we come back from this next break. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
This is Sue King. Here at WDIY, we love our members because their contributions make all the great programming you hear possible. Rob from Bethlehem recently renewed his membership and said, "Keep up the great work. WDIY is the right place to listen on the left end of the dial." Join Rob and become a WDIY member today. Visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 4.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can ask questions on air, or if you're not comfortable talking on air like Albert, you can just give your question to Sue. She'll write it down and bring it in to me. So Albert asked about finding a financial advisor, how to choose, and the cost of an advisor. Albert, it's funny because, you know, my husband and I actually subscribe, you know, to the AARP membership. I scoffed at it when it first, you know, came in the mail years ago. But we do continue to get the AARP newsletter, and it is chock full of information. And one of the recent articles, which my husband graciously cuts out for me, hon talk about this, he always wants me to cover particular topics, but one of them was had referenced how to choose a financial advisor. I have talked about this on prior shows. I'm sure they're available on wdiy.org under public affairs. You can probably search for it on the NPR and other media as well. But a great way to start, I would say, is to search on CFP.net. That stands for Certified Financial Planner.net, CFP.net. People who hold that designation do have a fiduciary responsibility to their clients to act in their best interest. The AARP article that I had recently read had said to, I think, NAPFA, and it's NAPFA.org possibly, is like fee-only advisors. Now, I don't want people to be afraid of someone who's not fee-only. Fee-only means they don't take any commissions from products sold. Well, if you're a certified financial planner professional, you have a fiduciary responsibility to your client to disclose any conflicts of interest and compensation and fees. So quite often, someone who doesn't necessarily put themselves out to be fee-only might in the end really almost be fee-only. And financial advisors typically will take a fee for assets under management that they're managing. Occasionally, you might find a financial advisor who will take like a retainer or a fixed dollar amount, depending on what the need is that you have. Maybe you just want a financial plan and you want to do your own investment management. But typically, for advisors who are doing investment management, yes, it's usually a fee. There's advisors who are on a registered investment advisory platform. again, that is a fiduciary responsibility. And then there might be advisors who are strictly brokers who work with a broker-dealer. The difference is the registered investment advisor, an investment advisor representative working with an RIA, has that fiduciary responsibility, and they have to act in your best interest, whereas a broker just has to make sure that the product is suitable for you. And typically the funds will pay that broker a commission or a 12B1 fee or, golly, I haven't used those words in so long. I don't even remember. It's like a loaded share, like a share or a C share. And, you know, the C share mutual fund might pay an advisor 1%. Well, a registered investment advisory firm might have their fee schedule might be 1% as well. So it could be similar. You really need to break it down and see what other kinds of services you're getting, because sometimes you might have financial advisors who are doing more than just the investment management. They could also be providing some financial planning along with their services. You can also go on FINRA. FINRA, I believe it's FINRA.org to check. It's a broker-dealer check that you can check to see if they have any, reported, information, or if they have like a clean record. Okay, Albert. So I think the CFP.net, you can put in search for advisor and type in your zip code, and that's what makes that really nice. And then I say, once you find them, you go and search their website and search them. You know, I'm all about research. I can't help myself. I love researching. So we have another caller. We have Richard from Phillipsburg. Richard, can you hear me? Hello, Richard. Hi, Richard. Okay, I can't hear Richard right now. Richard, you could try calling back again, or it looks like Sue was able to put down some of the information, and I... Okay, Richard, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
There we go. Hi, Richard. How can I help you?
Okay, Lori. I was just, your subject tonight, which is a recurring one, as to... retirement, and you know that you juxtapose that with issues of career choices.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you people have they enter certain careers because of the pension that is available to them after they accrue a certain number of years.
And
I'm just wondering, with this recent bout of inflation where mm-hmm. we've seen, like, the cost of rents, mm-hmm. Used cars, fuels,
uh-huh.
Go up. And people who are kind of have a, steady streams of pension funds.
Yep.
But they are not, a lot of them are do not have any COLA
right,
attached
cost
to them.
Of living adjustment, right, yep.
And so my question would be is sometimes if you're already in that case,
mm-hmm.
Then your situation, then you're making certain adaptations. But just for the younger members of the workforce,
mm-hmm.
Is this a new landscape that we are really entering into? And if, certain jobs, maybe you could get some type of retirement after 10 years, then and you might even want to maybe have a certain flexibility as to maybe switching over to another a type of employment
mm-hmm.
That also has a pension, so you would have a little bit more of a cushion.
Yeah, Richard.
Rather than just
you bring up a good point, and this is something I've talked about on prior shows. That quite often young adults or older adults will look at their parents as like the role model, but they don't realize our parents quite often might have had pensions. And young adults today, it's really rare. Most corporations have moved away from having pensions. So I would say that, you know, one of your questions was, if once someone's already retired and they have a pension, and if there is no cost of living adjustment to that pension, but we're in an inflationary environment where costs are going up for gas and food and all of that, you know, what can we do? Well, as I mentioned earlier, back with Social Security, they told us, you know, Social Security wasn't supposed to be your only resource in your retirement years. But Social Security does have a cost of living adjustment. It was quite hefty, actually, this year, and they're projecting that it's going to be even higher into next year. So hopefully certain resources for our retirees will have some flexibility in that income stream in providing a cost of living adjustment. For those people who don't have the benefit or the luxury of having a cost of living adjustment on their pension, this is where we really need to build in that flexibility and what we expect our successful retirement lifestyle to be. That's where, if we are worried that costs could go up, what can we do today to kind of manage that? If we're already retired, we do certain things like go out less, maybe go to be smarter when we're going out to the store, do all of our errands at once so that we're only driving out one time instead of going out five times, which is what my husband loves to do, loves going to the store. So let's try to like do it all at once. When we go out, instead of ordering drinks, we order water. So you kind of, you know, each person kind of has to manage how they're going to react or change their cash outflows based on, you know, how they're being impacted by that retirement. So, Richard, did that help? Because I just don't think young people can count on pensions anymore. So we really have to save. It's the way corporate America has gone. They've put the burden of saving for our retirement on the workers, no longer on the corporations. So does that make sense?
Yes, it does, Lori. I can see that you've been thinking about this recent inflationary curve we're on now, mm-hmm. and it certainly gives pause. I was just wondering as to whether workers will have to maybe have a bit of flexibility. Yep. And, when you notice sometimes when you're talking with younger people that, retirement always seems light years ahead.
That's right. So that's the other thing we can do, Richard, is we can, help inform them. Richard, thank you for the call, though. I think we lost you there. So thank you so much for calling and bringing that awareness to our listening audience, particularly for our young people. The sooner you start planning, the better. I typically see people really thinking about their retirement really around 50, 55. And, you know, to my earlier scenario, if you start thinking about it much earlier, you know, in the early 40s, you know, your chances of success are greatly increased. So let me see if I can just talk about, I have about 2 minutes left, for the bigger considerations that I mentioned, the housing, staying in place, downsizing. You know, staying in place works for a lot of people. It might require renovations. If while you're working, let's pretend you were one of those lucky people who were able to pay off your mortgage if you are a homeowner, you might want to apply for a line of credit. If you haven't already done the improvements, let me tell you, when you stop working and you spend a lot more time in your house, you're going to see all the cracks and the nicks and the paint job and it's the patio. It's all going to need to be improved. Get a line of credit maybe before you retire if you don't already have one. That will provide some flexibility and options for you. If you're thinking about a different state, I've already mentioned that. Please consider the taxes. There is a website, I think it's called retirementliving.com, that has some great comparisons of the different kinds of taxes and costs across the states. It's really, I hope I remembered that site right. I think it was called retirementliving.com. what about healthcare, pre-Medicare age? You're really looking here at COBRA if you're working, and if you're outside the COBRA range, then we're talking about the marketplace. Certain states bifurcated from the marketplace, and they have their own. Pennsylvania has penny.com. You can go on there. You can play around. Check out the cost before you retire. See what it's going to cost you before you retire. If there's a way for you to manage the income on your tax return, you might be able to get what we call advanced premium tax credits, which will help pay for that health insurance. It might not cost as much as you think, but you got to do a lot of planning ahead of time. Travel, I already mentioned, you could travel domestically. You could travel every other year instead of every year. Long-term care, I didn't get to talk about that. I was going to talk a little bit about long-term care, continuing care retirement communities. Huge expenses on some of these, but there could be ways that you could plan for that as well. And maybe I will try to circle back to that in a future show. One thing I also wanted to point out as part of your successful retirement lifestyle is make sure you get your documents done, your estates, your wills, which includes your will, your power of attorney. Because once we get into our retirement years, how many stories have we heard that someone retires and then they fall ill? So please, please, make sure you have that in line. Folks, we've run out of time, but I want to make sure that you know to take care of yourself first, just like the flight attendants tell you. Next week, we're going to have a pre-recorded show. I will be out. I will be back July 13th with Bill Henderson and a 2022 market review and some investor education, and we will be talking about inflation as well. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices. Thank you, Sue. Thank you, James Johnson. Have a great week.